Please take your Bibles and let us turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 27. We'll read from there to chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 40, verse 27. And you'll find that on page 829 of your pew Bible and following. 829. Again, we'll read to chapter 41, verse 10. Hear now God's word. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? Who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow? Who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet? Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. The coastlands saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called them its farthest regions, called from its farthest regions, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that concludes the reading of God's word. Let's come to our God now in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you here on New Year's Eve, we acknowledge you to be the God of all events, the eternal God who's outside of time and space, the one who has been and always will be, and yet the God of our salvation. You are our faithful Father. In some ways, this past year feels like it has flown by very quickly. Many things have happened, and it's hard in some ways to fathom that here we are at the end of another year. But on the other hand, when we consider some of the painful events of the year, it seems like it was a year that went slowly. We've had joy, but we've also had grief at the end of a calendar year. In that way, Lord, we can see that Lord, we are not in control, but you are. You are sovereign. You are the one who looks after us in all ways. And looking back, Lord, we can see many blessings. We have come into this year fearful of what may have come or how certain things would have happened, but again, you have shown yourself to be faithful to us. And you call us again to put our faith and trust in you. Lord, as we have come into this service, we also desire to understand more deeply your care for us. And so we pray that as we turn to your word again, to Psalm 91, that you would look upon us with your favor, with your spirit. Give to us, Lord, the ability to understand what is there. And Lord, we pray that your word would be brought in fullness, that you would be glorified, and that, Lord, you will grant to us listening ears. Hear our prayer as we come again to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please take your Bibles now and let us turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, which will be our meditation for this evening. And you'll find that on page 684 in your pew Bible. Psalm 91. Hear now God's word. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has made known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that in our hearing. Well, once again, our passage that we're looking at this evening is Psalm 91. I encourage you to have that open before you as we'll be working through that. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we've gathered here on this last day of the year, we make it our custom to look back to see what kind of year this has been. And we can see again that it's been quite a year. 9/11 is still a reality. War on terrorism, the war in Iraq and Syria against ISIS, the deadly attacks of Boko Haram, the militant Islamic group in Nigeria, several airplane crashes, including two jets that were owned and operated by Malaysian Airlines, and now another by Air Asia, and also the attack on our own parliament this past October, which resulted in one soldier bravely dying while he was guarding the National War Memorial. The media constantly is giving us updates of what is going on in the world. And this is an unpredictable time that we live in. And it's very easy to be in fear. Besides the war on terrorism, we've had our trouble with Ebola, also a recent bad strain of the flu. And we could go on addressing the terrorism in our own country. The recent legislation that terrorizes and makes threats against the institution of marriage. Moreover, the prostitution laws being struck down. And euthanasia, which is becoming legal. As well, law students graduating from Trinity Western University being forbidden to practice because of their biblical view of sexuality. Well, just as it was customary for us to wish each other a joyful, blessed Christmas, it's now customary for us to welcome in the new year and wish each other a blessed new year. How can this be a good year? How can we be ensured that 2015 will be a blessed year when we need security and protection and encouragement? Can we as believers carry on after hearing shocking events that are taking place around the world? And can we plan on going to college or university or planning to get married? Well, that's why we're gathered here, to give some thought and consideration to our position. Of course, we say that we find our security in the Lord. As a prayer to end 2014, we see this theme of safety in this psalm, and it's brought out in three different ways. First of all, there's a picture of this safety. We see this in verses 1 to 8. Secondly, an assurance of this safety, which is seen in verses 9 to 13. And then lastly, promises and conditions of this safety, seen in the last two verses, verses 14 to 16. So a picture, an assurance, and promises and conditions. So first of all, a picture of this safety. In this song, we're encouraged to make the Lord God, the Most High, our fortress, our resting place. And there are images of that protection that are seen very clearly in verses 1 to 4. There's a security to those who put their trust in the Lord. Notice the titles of the Lord, just how they describe to us the Lord's might. Literally, in the Hebrew, this is what they sound like. The secret place of Elyon, the Most High. Or the shadow of Shaddai, the Almighty. The Lord, Yahweh, the God who establishes His covenant with His people. He is our refuge and fortress. My Elohim, my majestic infinite Lord, in Him I will trust. And the point is that whoever makes this mighty God a dwelling place is in the safest place ever. Whoever puts his trust in Him will be taken care of. He is a hiding place. And we can be sure that when Martin Luther wrote those words, "A mighty fortress is our God," that he meant that God was a refuge. That's the main image that we see here in these opening verses, that God is a dwelling place, like a strong fort. Verse 2 says that He is a refuge or a shelter or a fortress, meaning a stronghold. And we think of a castle that is hard to attack. No doubt this was Martin Luther's thought when he wrote the words of that very well-known hymn. So how do we face trouble? Well, by resting in our refuge. We need to be able to say with the psalmist this evening, "My God, in Him I will trust." In Him is our faith. In Him as well should be our regular confidence. Our automatic reaction to trouble should not be to complain or to get mad the way that the world does. Nor should our reaction be to despair. No, our reaction should be, "My God, in Him I will trust." We're safe in Him no matter what the danger. In fact, this word "abide" in verse 1 means to spend the night as in a room at an inn. As Jesus put it, "In my Father's house there are many" what? There are many rooms. There are many mansions. And so the psalm writer is saying, keep on coming back to the care of the Almighty. Every evening, come back to this inn where you will find the Lord. For then you will discover God's faithfulness, that He is unshakable and that He is powerful. What kind of safe refuge do we have then? We make Him our dwelling place. That comes out in the other verses that we see in this first point. And we note there that He is both powerful and gentle. Verse 4 gives us this image of a bird. Certainly we all are like foolish, weak birds. But look at what He promised to those who abide in Him. He will cover you with His feathers, it says. The picture is given that of a overshadowing wings or pinions of a bird, like an eagle gathering its young. When we make God our dwelling place, we can be under His gentle care, just like chicks feel warm and safe under the wings of their mother. He's gentle in that way. But note, He's not weak. You don't mess with an eagle with its young. If you do, you'll never forget it. He's strong. Verse 4 says, He's a shield and buckler. It brings us back to this imagery of battle. Both these terms speak of protective steel coverings. And one of these terms means a large shield covering the whole body. It's like a plate of steel that guards against arrows. And so He's gentle. At the same time, He's strong. It reminds us of what we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 41. As we notice those themes of God, the mighty Creator, everlasting, strong. And Isaiah says to God's people, "Fear not, for God is with you. Be not dismayed. I will be your God. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Just consider, congregation, how strong and tender your God is. We live in a world where there is danger, a time that we are unsure of what will happen in the future. And we're being called to make the Lord our strong fortress. We have a strong defense in Him, but also a safe environment. And that's the image that is being brought out here. And notice how the psalm does provide that for us, that protection in different ways. Verse 3 literally says that He will deliver us from the trap of the trapper. A fowler is one who lays a snare. He's going to deliver us from the fowler's snare, the trapper's trap. Verse 5 speaks of protection from terror during the night. Terror here is fear or dread. That's what terrorism is all about. Putting fear into our hearts. People are paranoid about being attacked. One of the greatest sufferings we face as human beings is fear. fear of the unknown, fear of what evil might come. But consider how God knows all about our frightening human nature. And he's saying to us tonight, child of God, don't be afraid. I'm in control. I will work everything out for good. Neither will the child of God be afraid of the flying arrows by day. There's a lot of danger in this sinful world. Deranged people will harm you. It's not safe for your kids to be out alone. Often we have to look over our shoulder when we're at the bank machine taking money out. Is someone going to rob us? And then there's bacteria and germs. And we worry, what will happen? Will we catch something? Children, sometimes you're afraid of what is in the closet at night. You're afraid of that thing that bumps in the night. We can be fearful of so many, many things, but we're kept safe in the Lord. Verse 6 speaks of the protection from pestilence at night and the destruction in the day. Think of Ebola or some other sickness or disease. We look to the Lord to be kept from these things. And it's always amazing. It amazes me how the Lord is always protecting over our elderly. When there is a sickness going around, or when they fall, how God looks after them, how they're spared from pestilence or harm. Now, that's not a promise that we won't ever get sick, but it's a promise that God will be with us. Just think of how he's done that. When we've been not well, he's raised us up again. He's made us well. Verse 7 speaks of protection during battle. Thousands, tens of thousands fall. Again, we might be caught up in the rage of battle, people dying all around us, but death will not separate those who are the Lord's from him. They're safe. Verse 8 promises that we will look at the reward of the wicked, that they will fall. But a child of God will not be cursed. And that too is a promise. We can be confident then, because our God is a strong fortress to hide in. He is both powerful and caring. But we see the next thing that's in this psalm. We have an assurance of the safety, and we see that in verses 9 to 13. Verses 9 and 10 describe certain benefits. Those who do make him a refuge will find him a refuge. It's impossible that any permanent ill should take place in the lives of those who are truly loved by the Lord. True, it is possible that our lives are lost in calamity. Yet that possibility will only shorten our journey to eternity with our God, who is our secret place. We're not promised that trouble will not come at all. Rather, we're promised that the Lord will keep us when there is trouble. Why? Because you've made the Lord your home, your dwelling place. It reminds us of the words that we sang from earlier, Psalm 90, where it speaks about the ancientness of God, that he is eternal. He's from eternity to eternity, always and forever in existence. And that brings us to verses 11 to 13, where there is this assurance of protection. There's a promise of angels who are charged by the Lord to bring us protection. It reminds us of another part of Scripture. You know how Hebrews 1 speaks of them as being ministering spirits who are sent to God's children. There are some very obvious examples in Scripture of this protection that they provide. Daniel and his three friends in the fiery furnace. Peter being led by an angel out of prison. The angels were visible at these times, but they're spiritual beings. They're not always visible. There are times when we have been spared serious injury. We trip and fall down, but we don't break any bones. A car ahead of us fishtails out of control on the slippery roads, and we somehow manage to steer away from that so we avoid a collision. Or our vehicle has lost control and we end up going into the ditch. And our lives flash before our eyes, reminding us that we are weak, we are frail, but we're spared. Do you ever think that it might be an angel that was protecting you during a time like that? We may not always be aware of their presence, but God promises that He will send them to us. We don't see them, but they're there. You remember how that happened, children, with Elisha when his servant was afraid and he prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, that he would see all the angels around them, the horses and the chariots. We need to take the Lord at His word. His angels are ready to bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. That doesn't mean that we take His word lightly. We're not to be reckless or careless. You remember how the devil used this passage in Matthew chapter 4? He took it out of context. There, Jesus said that we should not test the Lord, but instead, He stuck with the theme of what this passage is talking about. We're to trust in Him. Worship and serve the Lord alone, Satan, he said to him. We're to make the Lord our trust and serve Him, and then we can find our security in Him. Verse 13 also says that we're able to tread upon the lion and the cobra. Again, think of the Bible here. Israel in the wilderness, when they survived all those poisonous snakes that bit them. Young David killing both a lion and a bear with a stick in his own bare hands. Daniel being kept safe while in the lion's den. Or Paul, the Apostle Paul, shaking off that venomous snake that bit him and he just threw it off into the fire. The Lord protected His people from these dangerous animals. And this is also, we can understand this figuratively of the great dragon, the old serpent who Christ crushed under our feet. God's word tells us that the serpent was a crafty animal. We think of Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve were tempted in the Garden of Eden. And Satan came in the form of a serpent to deceive, and he was successful. We sinned against the Lord, but God said that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. We all have participated in that victory in Jesus Christ. And so we see this as both an assurance of His physical safety, but as well the spiritual safety that we have in the Lord. He looks out for our good, both body and soul. How does that happen? Well, it happens, congregation, when we make the Lord our trust. Well, thirdly, there are promises and conditions of the safety. We see that in verses 14 to 16, the closing of this psalm. There are many promises in these closing verses. Verse 14, He promises to deliver us. He will set us on high, higher than our enemies, and we will inherit eternal thrones in Him. In verse 15, He will hear our prayers. He will be with us in times of trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. He knows our adversity. He visits us in our affliction. He grants His presence and support. In verse 16, He will give long life and show us His salvation. This is speaking of more than just length of days, but eternal life. We will live forever with Him. These are the promises given. They're ours in Christ. When we have a relationship with Him, we can look forward to seeing these promises being fulfilled in the new year. But notice that there are conditions here. We have to desire a closer relationship with Him. Verse 14 says, He will set a man on high because he has known the Lord. Verse 15 says that we have to acknowledge His name. We have to call upon His name and His name alone. Why was it that the Apostle Peter was saved by an angel? Because God's people called on the name of the Lord. They prayed to God while Peter was in prison. How could David grab a lion by the mane and strike him down and kill him? It was because he was a man of God's own heart. All of these saints we read about in the Bible had this quality about them. They put their trust in the Lord. And so how could it be that our children are kept safe from the fowler? How can we be spared from severe sickness? How can we be kept safe in a volatile, changing world as God's children? How can we live without fear? It's when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, when we trust in our mighty God who will cover us with His feathers and take refuge under His wings, because God is both mighty and gentle. And so you're being encouraged to make the Lord God, the Most High, your fortress and your resting place. You have to call on Him daily in prayer for His blessing on you. Because as Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 27, we don't know what a day might bring forth. But as we reflect on how the Lord has protected us over this past year, we can be optimistic for the new year. In Him, we're safe, well protected, cared for, and delivered. Amen.